Let's pray. Father, we pray that your voice would accompany our thoughts as we read and think on your word. We pray that your love will surround us. We will know your presence in our lives. And we thank you that you will take us by our hands. You will hold on to us and lead us in the way that you have purposed for us. For we know that this is truth through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Stepping out in faith, Abraham received God's call, a call to journey in faith. And Nicodemus came to Jesus in secret at night and was challenged to step out in faith. 8.5 years ago, Sheila and I moved away from Wales to come to Odell, or Odell, as we thought it was called, to be nearer to our children and grandchildren. And yet, we discovered that this is part of the country we already knew. I was the minister of a Baptist church just 7 miles from where we now live. And this, anyway, was our sixth such move. Most of us have left home at some time in our lives, left the familiar surroundings of people, places, sounds and smells, food and drink, and football, in my case, shops and places of entertainment. Many of us have moved to a new area, maybe more than once. Some of us will have seen this as part of God's call and plan for our lives. Here in this story, at the beginning of the history of the people of Israel, we have God's call to Abraham. We are told about his family history, God's call and promises, and his subsequent response in the form of a journey. Life in Ur, probably lying at the south end of modern Iraq, at the head of the Persian Gulf, was culturally rich and comfortable. So there would have to be some pretty good reasons to leave. It was a place of polytheism, and Terah's livelihood and that of his family was here in Ur. And so the call to journey begins from this place. The family head out against the stream of Amorite migration, which was toward rather than away from Mesopotamia. It was a relatively rich and comfortable place to live. The trade route from Ur to Haran was used by many merchants and traders, and in Haran, the religious life would have been similar to that of Ur. Terah and his family would have been comfortable with the familiar. But Abraham is called to go on. Well, what does this call feel like? How does Abraham feel? What does he think? I mean, the family have already travelled 600 miles from home. How much further will he travel? By the time he reaches the Negev, it'll be another 500 miles or so. And Abraham is not only called to leave his home, but also to leave behind his family clan and all the familiar things of life, and to go. Well, go where? Well, where I show you, says God. What thoughts are running through your mind? Oh, and by the way, you're 75 years old. That's young. For me, anyway, it's a year younger. And so we hear of God's assurance. Abraham and his father had been city dwellers, for whom the long move northwards from Ur to Haran marked a strenuous uprooting. It was for them a once and for all journey to a new environment, which was to be Canaan. Now, the reluctance of Terah to move on from Haran highlights the obedience of Abraham. Not only was he prepared to take to the road again when the remainder of the family had settled down, but he was also going into the unknown. He was going there without a map, and he was not going to enjoy a settled home life ever again. From now on, his life would be that of a nomad. It was an uncompromising call to go by himself, to leave clan, to leave homeland, to leave his parents' house. And the call for us may have been equally uncompromising as we look to our future in work, in our family relationships, or in church. And now, here in this place, what will we do? What sort of ministry will the church have next? And where will we find ourselves? And what will we be asked to do and to accept? Well, God knows the thoughts and feelings that must have been cascading through Abraham's mind, and he speaks directly to Abraham with a threefold promise. Firstly, the promise that out of Abraham will become a great nation, blessed with descendants in the land. And Abraham will have great power. He will be a channel of blessing and cursing. And he will be a great person. He will be a blessing to others. It's a promise of good things ahead, but maybe beyond Abraham's lifetime. In human terms, it might be described as success and good fortune. But for Abraham, it is God who is the source of all success and of any good fortune. And this God is our future. As I read earlier, because this is what I find in Psalm 16, this verse is something that stands out to me and is something I often repeat to myself at various points in life. You, Lord, are all I have. You give me all I need. My future is in your hands. But it is only a promise. There are no assurances for Abraham. He was to make the decisive break with the past, leaving the dominant cult of moon worship behind and following a call to bring into being a new people of God. It is a call to step out in faith. So what of Abraham's faith? Abraham trusted. He has faith. He's obedient. The wrench to leave family and going into the unknown with all its hardship is well known, of course, to the pioneer. Abram takes his wife, his nephew, and all their possessions and begins the second trek. And if you want to picture this, I picture it like one of the Western wagon trains, but this time with camels. The break with the past would leave Abram to depend on God. This would be a faith-building experience. Our lives given to God can be understood in this light. And I really do believe this. This has been my experience. Through our trust, through our experiences and those of our family, our faith is strengthened, and we have experiences of God to remember. And from those experiences, we will draw strength as we step out into an unknown future. But Abraham's knowledge of God is limited to a call and a promise. The place where God will reveal himself in a fuller way is not Haran, but in the unknown country of Canaan, 500 miles from Haran, 1,100 miles from home. The fuller revelation comes through a further separation. Just as the disciples experienced when they left their nets, their business, their family, and followed Jesus. And for me, the the fuller revelation and understanding of God has come through working as a geologist, training for ministry, being a Baptist pastor, teaching at Oxford, and then through my ministry to retirement in Cardiff. For me, it has been both exciting and fulfilling. And in confidence, I continue to commit myself to the future that I believe that God is preparing. God's promises and God's commands belong together, and God blesses Abraham as he promised. And Abraham steps out in faith on a risky journey into the unknown. Nicodemus comes to Jesus because he's been impressed by the miracles that Jesus has done, impressed by Jesus' teaching. And Jesus tells him that he must allow God's Spirit to fill him with new life, the living relationship with God in God's kingdom. He will know this, says Jesus, if he comes to Jesus for that life. Just as the sick, rebellious people of Israel in the wilderness came to Moses holding up a snake on a pole, so reminiscent of and a prophetic image of Christ on the cross. John challenges his readers, like Nicodemus, to step out in faith, stating that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And at the end of the gospel, we find Nicodemus indeed stepping out in faith as he goes with Joseph of Arimathea to Pilate to ask for the body of the crucified Jesus so that they can bury him. The Christian church is seen as an outnumbered minority in our modern world. You just have to look at the statistics. Less than 50% of the population now would describe themselves as Christian. That's down from 70%. A mere 10 or 15 years ago. It's down from about 80 to 90% when I first trained for ministry. And of course, our modern world has a plurality of beliefs. It's interesting that being a Jedi Knight seems to be one of the features on the census for things that you might believe in. So we feel vulnerable. Vulnerable like Abraham, entering an alien land with many gods, just as there were in those Eastern cultures at the time of Abraham. Abraham continued to know God's leadership and presence, though, in his journey through this alien land. We may come to Jesus in trepidation, just like Nicodemus, worried about what others might think of us. But it's important for us to recognize that God is not confined to the safety of the church or of our Christian friendships and networks. And like Abraham, we will find God wherever he calls us to go. And still, it is a walk of faith. The call of God to each of us is intensely personal, and none of us will follow exactly the same path. But the outcome of obedience is far-reaching. In the case of Abraham, it was pivotal to the history of the people of God, both in the Old Covenant and in the New. And the same God will work out his promises in you and me. We too are called to follow. But we, of course, have got much greater assurance, greater certainty, because we know God's revelation of his love and his value and purpose that he has for each of our lives in Christ. I've recounted my experiences of God's grace throughout my life in the book that I've written, Emmaus. And if there's anyone who would still like a copy of that, I've got copies. Because I want to talk about what I've experienced about God's love and grace. It hasn't always been easy. Sometimes it's been very challenging. But there is the assurance that God is concerned for us and God is with us. And I truly believe that each one of us can confidently step out on this journey, the next step of which begins now. What I would have loved to have sung is a hymn that, a modern hymn, but we don't have it on the disc. One more step along the world I go, one more step along the world I go. From the old things to the new, keep me travelling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new, keep me travelling along with you. Amen.